address the commissioners, now would be the time to do so.
Perfect.
Which one do you want to?
The tough one.
The tough one?
Thank you.
You don't really need to speak right into it.
Thank you.
Would you like to flip these for her? Do you know the presentation, or do you want to holler across to me, or?
I can. It's not too many. It's only a few. I can just give you
a
glance if you don't mind.
I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button.
I can start. My name is Casey O'Halloran. I am the hopeful owner-operator of Little Lambs Daycare. So this is the daycare we hope to open in Phippsburg. My husband is here as well, Kieran O'Halloran. We are parents to two little guys, a three-year-old and a one-year-old. We live in Yampa. We lived in Oak Creek in Yampa, South Grout, for about 5 years now.
We
specifically moved to South Grout because we wanted to raise our kids there and be in that community and that tight-knit environment in the school district there. So that's kind of just how it started, how our idea came up to be daycare operators. So just a little bit about us. So a little bit about the demand for childcare. Now, I'm quite confident everybody has probably heard these numbers. These are all from different studies that have been done in Rouse County. All the different conversations that First Impressions has had, there's a special study going on about the need for childcare. But I just thought I'd lay it out for you guys just a little bit really quick. So there is approximately 1,100 children under the age of 5 in Rouse County right now. So that's a census number. Of those 1,100 children, their families, there's 77% of those Rouse County families with the children under the age of 5 have both parents in the workforce. So that would mean they would need full-time daycare. So that is 847 children in Rouse County that need full-time care. However, there are 691 slots for children. So you can see the discrepancy there. There's quite a large difference that is still needed. Of those 691 slots, there's only 94 for children under the age of 2. So that, to me, as a mom with a child under the age of 2 and a child who just went over the age of 2, that means we don't have two parents in the workforce because we have no possibility to do that. And then of those slots, so of those 691 slots, there are 36 slots in Yampa at the Yampa Preschool, but those are for children 3 to 5. And then there's an Oak Creek after school program, but you have to be a school age child, so 5 and older. And then there is a family child care home in Stagecoach. She does have 6 slots, and she's allowed to accept all ages. I did just speak to the child care licensing specialist, and her family home is so far back in Stagecoach, she apparently doesn't have anyone who she watches children for because it's too far out of the way for them. So I guess what I'm trying to just point out is there's a large need, and just the numbers alone can show you that, not to mention how the community might feel or how parents feel, but just the numbers speak for themselves of the amount of slots that are needed to facilitate to just the Rouse County kids that are currently here. So we propose to solve a little tiny bit of this problem for South Rouse at least by opening a full-time large child care facility. I call it large child care because that is the word that the state licensing requires. If you have children under the age of 2, you must open a large child care facility, meaning you must meet every regulation they could have. So you can kind of go from a small at-home daycare to a large child care facility. So even though this is small and doesn't have that many slots, you would still have to meet every regulation that a massive center would have to meet, as far as certification for directors, all the safety measures, all the different things you have to put into place to make sure your children are cared for safely. So it would be a full-time year-round daycare. The space would allow for 8 infants, 10 toddlers, and 12 preschool-aged children. Those numbers come from the space that this house would allow. So infants, toddlers, and preschoolers can never actually be in the same space at once. So you have to have basically three centers in one. They have to have their own entrance and exits. They have to be completely away from each other. So that would be why we actually chose this house, because the layout of it just made it so simple for us to do that. It was a wall up and a wall down, and we were able to create three spaces. Of those three spaces, those are the only amounts of children that can fit in those spaces per the state requirements. So they have to have 50 square foot for infants, 45 square foot for toddlers, and 35 square foot for preschool age children. The location is in Pittsburgh. I'm sure you guys all know that Pittsburgh is kind of a nice middle point for everybody, for Oak Creek, for Yampa, Conan, even Stagecoach. It's really not that far out of their way to work or to, if they're going to Oak Creek or if they can take the Canyon Road. Also, parents are most likely taking their child to school anyway, so they have to go that way as it is. So we thought Pittsburgh was a really nice middle ground location. And then just a little bit more about the center. We will offer really competitive rates. We've done the math. I'm a bookkeeper by career, and so we've done lots and lots of spreadsheets, lots of math. The rates that we would hold are just the rates that we have to pay off the overhead. There would be no, this is not, we did not seek this daycare to make a profit for ourselves. We are seeking this daycare because the community needs it. We personally need it. So, our rates are really competitive. They are right in line with what Steamboat offers. And then the preschool rates are right in line with what Yampa preschool offers. They would be a little bit more because Yampa preschool is supported by the school district, so the rates are really low. So it's kind of possible to do other business. And then staffing. So we would, I would own and operate the facility. We would have to hire a full-time director, full-time sub-director, who would be the infant supervisor, 3 full-time teachers, and 2 full-time teacher's aides. So we'd be creating 7 jobs within South Route, which I think is pretty exciting. We'd offer really competitive salaries, which were right in line with Steamboat's salaries, as well as, I mean, you pay for what you get, and we all know that. So if you're going to take your child, you want some quality care. You're going to give up that much money a day for your child to go somewhere. You really want them loved and cared for, and so to do that, you've really got to have some great people doing that. So we've budgeted for really high salaries for our teachers. So along the lines with quality care staffing, we also we have set our rates, or our staffing ratio, just a little different than the state of Colorado requires. So the top half is what Colorado requires, and then the bottom half is what we're going to try and reach to. So that would just be 1 staff to every 4 infants as opposed to 5. I don't know if anybody's ever taken care of an infant, but 4 seems crazy. 5 as well. I don't know how anyone can do 5 children by themselves. So we've lowered it to 4. Same with toddlers, 1 to 5. And then the preschool from, it should be 1, or it has to be 1 to 10, but again, I think that's crazy. So staff members 1 to 7 per children. Just to offer better quality care so that we're getting the best that we can for our kids. So, I mean, that's kind of our center as a whole. I can go into lots more detail if you guys are interested, but that's just a pretty broad overview. The support we have so far for this, and we've by no means publicized it. We have just been in contact with lots of different agencies helping us. And if anybody's from South Florida, you know the rumor mill just spins and spins and spins. And so lots of support. I've had people just calling and emailing. I already have 13 families on a waiting list that want to be added so they can get their child in as soon as possible. We've already interviewed 3 different staff members. So should we get the go-ahead on this, we would already have our director and 2 other staff members in place. The city of Steamboat has given us a $15,000 grant for our infant and toddler slots, which I felt speaks volumes for the need for this, if the city of Steamboat is willing to give their tax money down to a different location. I think that's pretty impressive. And then in your packets, I think, I hope you should find a multiple amounts of letters from a bunch of different people in the South Shore community that have reached out to me to offer support, that have been with me through this all. So I think those speak really loud, too, of the demand and the need for this center. So that's kind of all for me. If you have any questions or whatever's next, however this goes.
Commissioners, any questions for the petitioner at this point?
Yeah. Is the goal, as stated, to open January 14th?
That was when I wrote my business plan for the loan for the house months ago. So
okay.
Definitely not.
Okay.
I mean, it would be lovely, but I don't believe that everything could fall in line that quickly.
I have one. It's a technical question.
Okay.
Actually, I have 2. I must be out of touch, but preschool goes up to 8 years old.
So there is this weird gap that kids can fall in. So it's just a matter for licensing purposes if you put that age in there. So some kids might just not be ready for kindergarten at 5 or 6. And there are just some of those kids who have some special needs that need to wait till they're a little older.
Yeah.
So we're getting licensed for up to 8, just so that if there would be a child who needs that care, we would be able to offer it. So kind of just covering all our bases.
The second question, based on what I think I read, you're basically financing this 100%. Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure my math is right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Could you speak to the site plan? It looked like it's evolved.
Sure. The parking portion of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know we'll probably get further into that, but yes. So when we submitted this application, Broken Bridge came back and asked us to kind of check out their regs again and make sure we fall in line with them. So we worked with a civil engineer and with Mike Morty and have redone the parking situation so that there will be no cars parking on the county road or even backing onto the county road to exit the facility. So there'll be kind of that half driveway that everyone can park into.
I'm sorry. Carl?
Okay. Casey, I appreciate your comments on the need. It was one of the areas I was kind of uncertain about, so thank you for that. There's a letter of support in the packet from the superintendent of South Route, Rim Watson.
Yeah.
And he specifically says he supports development for a birth to age 3 daycare center. Do you happen to know what is that?
So South Route has the preschool, the Yampa preschool. It's connected to the elementary. They all work together. And they offer care for 3 to 5 year olds.
Okay.
My 3-year-old goes there. Love it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So this is by no means in any sort of competition. This is just in support of. But there is a massive waiting list. And we were on the waiting list for about 10 months before our kid could get in. So this is to just support the preschool. For all the younger siblings, for all the children before they can get to that preschool age, to get to the Yampa preschool, and then the kids who are on the waiting list, or get 2 days a week but needed the 5 days a week, or whatever the case may be. So I believe Rem is speaking to the fact that we just need the support so that the preschool can keep going for all the youngers.
Okay. And then you mentioned you've gotten a lot of support from people throughout South Route.
Mm-hmm.
We got any feedback from folks in Phippsburg as to your...
We did. We spoke. We closed on the house. We have started kind of the remodel process in some ways, shapes, and forms. And so we've been at this house a lot, and we have cute kids running around snow blowing and stuff. We did meet the neighbor across the street, so he's pretty much the only one that'll be, you know, directly impacted. His name's David. I didn't catch his last name. And he just walked straight up and said, I don't want to have to go to that meeting, so I'm going to tell you this right now. And he said, I don't want anybody parking in front of my driveway. And that was his biggest concern. And so he said, our plan is to have everyone park on our lot, not even in the county road. And he said, great, that's fine with me. And so that's the only thing we've heard from any of our neighbors.
And where is he on the map?
Directly across the street.
Oh, literally across.
Yeah. That's like... So if you look at some of the blue pictures, that's the house, and his house is right here. You can see the front of his truck.
Commissioners, any other questions for the time being?
Chris.
For the record, just so that we have it, we did receive the letters. You have them, and they're all in support. They're from Noreen Moore. I won't read the letters. I'll just... Noreen Moore, I think she's just representing herself. Cynthia Ashley, the director of ECSE Sarco Preschool. Crystal Brennigan, who is the hopeful future director of Little Lambs Child Care Center. Rim Watson, which we just spoke about with the South Trout School District, he's the superintendent. The town of Oak Creek, a letter from them. And the mayor of Yampa, Aaron Simmons, just so we have that in the record. And you've seen all of those because they're placed in front of you. Then You also, we were able to get the revised site plan to you. So there's two site plans. The one that's attached to the memo is that the one that's tentatively been approved by Mike Morty, and I'll be glad to put that up on the screen. I have it, if we need to do that, I have it on the disk. I don't know if you want the other. Do you have anything with the other thing was on? Okay. And so I can pull that up if we have any questions on that, too. And then we had issues for discussion, which right. were on page 2 of the staff report, and that was the designation for the discussion of Keyberg not being a growth center. So that was the first item under issues for discussion. So I don't know if you guys have any comments with that regard for that determination. And then the second thing was the bonding for site restoration. And the petitioner also has a concern with that. So that was something that she was hoping that we can discuss at some point. So those are the two things that were brought to your attention in the staff report. We also had, Casey came in today, and she had a couple of concerns with the conditions of approval. And let's see, if you could go back to page 8 of 27, that's where the specific conditions are. And so number 16, she does not have a sales tax account or licensing, so she would ask if that could be removed, and if you have questions on that, she can answer those for you. 17 is with regard to the bonding for restoration. Under 18, she was concerned, as I understand it, and if I've explained this wrong, please correct me. The state permit has amendments quite often, and it's just that they have different regulations or they've changed something that you have to abide with. So that comes forth to them, and they have to do those changes as they're required. So she was concerned, one, that we would be inundated with different amendments that we would have to keep track of. So after discussion, the thought was that maybe this condition should read, a current state license shall be on file with our department, the Route County Planning Department. And that way we know they're current with their state permit, and so we wouldn't have to deal with all the amendments. She would be dealing with that, and we would just know that she was current with the state. And then on the next page, number 23, and it was the last bulleted item, no meal shall be served unless the permit is received from the Route County Environment and Health Department. The parents will be bringing meals in, and they will be serving those meals. So she asked that the language be changed, that they're prepared, no meals shall be prepared. And if that changes, they would have to go through an amendment to their permit and meet with the Route County Environmental Health. So they're not preparing, they're not making the meals, but they will be serving them. So we want to make sure they can serve the meals to the kids. That wouldn't be a good thing. I think that might be it for me at this time.
I need for you to explain to me in the first items for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through this again, please. Planning Commission needs to consider that it should use. This is a new use. Help me with this whole thing.
This is a new use. It's a new special use. So usually new uses should be around designated growth centers, and Peaburg is not a designated growth center. Yappa, Oak Creek, Hayden, Steamboat Springs, those are growth centers, designated growth centers. And so with this in mind, the Planning Commission, if approval of this, that just part of the discussion is that they take under consideration if Peaburg meets
the need for having this type of a permit within their community, and that it would be a community need. They have the infrastructure, which they do have. They are supplied by water and sewer. And the services in conformance with the master plan on zoning regulations are proven to exist. And hopefully I've explained that with my comments, the bolded comments within the staff report. So because it's not a designated growth center, this use just needs to be considered if it truly is something that should happen in Beaver.
I can help out with it. We're on page 5, staff report 5. At the top, typical policies of our county master plan. 3-3A is the one that states that no commercial development should occur outside of a growth center, basically. 3-3D is where the exception comes in. Without further study, Brown County will only consider minor expansions and use permits in Beaver and Milner if the community need infrastructure, services, and conformance with the master plan and subdivision regulations are proven to exist.
Okay.
So that's the loophole. That's the loophole to 3-3-A.
Well, loophole has a negative connotation to it, but yeah, that's
what say,
yeah.
It makes more sense than 3-3-A.
Yes, thank
in
you.
This sense.
And then, I don't think I'm not understanding this correctly. I can't believe this. There's no daycare use within our zoning regs?
Yes, we have two different definitions for daycare. One is up to 12 children. It's a use by right.
Okay.
Yeah,
the
daycare,
home,
yeah. Home, yes.
Right,
home.
That, I remember that.
And then if it's more than that, it's a daycare center, and that requires a special use permit. Did that help?
I guess, yeah. So, and because this is a large child care facility, we're considering this a new use?
We're considering it. We don't have large daycare. What we have is 12 or more children.
Got it. Okay. Yes, John.
It's a small thing, but it conflicts with number 23 in the special conditions or specific conditions. There are three places in the petition that says their hours are different than what it comes down to in the first bullet of 23. The other three places say 7:30 to 5:30. And the specific condition that we're going to be voting on says 7 to 6.
Right. And under staff comments, I addressed that. We were concerned that if for some reason those times were too tight for the parents that are coming back and forth, they couldn't make those times. We wanted to suggest that we change that from 7 to 6 so that... if for some reason it doesn't work out in this case, that they would not have to come back through the whole process to amend their special use permit. So we are suggesting to extend those hours if they want to change them. At this point, they're planning on 7:30 to 5:30, but this gives them the opportunity to extend those hours if needed.
And that's the one that we should vote on.
I would suggest that. I hate to have them come back through for an administrative amendment or any other kind of amendment if for some reason parents are having a hard time making these hours because they're having to travel. Maybe it's bad roads. Maybe their hours are different at work. And just to make it easier for the daycare center and the parents if there needs to be a change.
Jeff.
Chris, would you agree that the revised site plan addresses the concerns of Road and Bridge?
Yes, Mike let us know by email that he, at this point, he tentatively approves what's going on. They do need to provide, I think, two more parking spaces to meet those requirements. And we did discuss that we could stack two of those spaces for the employees because they wouldn't be coming and going. And so when the plan is finalized, before we issue the permit, we would have to finalize the site plan, and that would be through Mike and Chad, and I have a condition to that effect here. I believe it's the last one. So they would have to meet those requirements before we finalize the permit.
But they're close.
They're close.
Could you explain a little bit more about special condition or specific condition 16 and 17? Is it necessary for them to have a sales tax account license? I don't know the rule on that one.
I will let Casey explain that to you. She explained it to me, but I think she'd be better at saying they don't need one.
We don't. We don't need it. We're not selling anything. We are just a service industry. So we request that be removed because we will not. I mean, we could open a sales tax license, but we would never pay into it.
Okay.
You're not going to have any swag?
No. Well, maybe, but not today.
T-shirts?
And then I'm not clear what the concern is about the bond. Is it you can't get a bond or?
Well, I guess we have two concerns. Is that we haven't even started and we are still just bleeding money, and so this is just another requirement to have more money issued out. And then my second concern, I guess, is that we're not making this site any worse than it currently is. To turn it back to the way it is now versus what we will do, I mean, who doesn't want a bigger parking lot, especially in Vicksburg? So if we were to have to turn this house and this yard back into the way it is now with this bond money, you're talking about a great drive-through parking lot for somebody who's going to buy this house. People who live in Pittsburgh have larger trucks, toys, tractors. Great parking is going to have fencing for a yard. So I don't believe that we're going to do it any disservice by any of the changes we plan to do. So that's why I'm asking if we can remove this bond requirement.
Related, where does that condition come from?
It's in Section 3 of our zoning regulations, Section 3.214, and I can read it to you if that would help. So, if required by the county, the applicant shall furnish evidence of a bank commitment of credit in favor of Rouse County, or bond, or certified check in an amount of 150% of the cost of improvements or restoration of the site. Such bonding shall guarantee site restoration or installation of required improvements. Such commitment, bond, or check shall be payable to and held by the Board of County Commissioners or its agent. And then it goes on about mining operations, which isn't applicable to here. So it's part of our requirements. And a lot of times we have site... try to think of an example. Can you think of an example that we would have if the people walked away from a business and they left something on the ground that needed to be removed, restored, whatever, and they walked away, we would have no funds in order to clean up that site. So that's what this bonding is to help fund those sites if that were to happen.
But it sounds like it's discretionary, not mandatory.
It's if it's required by the county.
Okay.
It is required by the county.
Yeah.
It's required.
There's some flexibility. Like I said, in some of the new telecommunication towers, cell towers that have gone in around, basically, they cut in an access road and they put the tower up. Yeah, something happened and the industry changed directions. Those companies went out of business. We got the money to go make sure the tower is down and the access road has been reclaimed. But I agree with the applicant in this case, it's not far from the original house.
Right.
You know, should we hold the money to turn it back to the way it is, or?
Well, it's kind of like, I think what you're really saying is, would we have an interest in getting rid of a U driveway? I think is what it amounts to. Okay. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Carl.
Chris, did staff give consideration to potential increased traffic impacts off of Highway 40 to access this?
And that's the review. We sent the review to Mike Morty to make that determination. And I've included his conditions of approval, but it didn't meet the requirements for increasing or doing a turn off or widening the road or whatever. They were concerned about backing into the road, which would be a safety concern. They're also concerned that tearing up the county road, as far as Mike explained it, you back on, you turn your wheels, you turn around, you turn this way, and then you're tearing up the road, so it would cost the county more. So the turnaround driveway is much easier on a county road than pulling in, pulling out, and it would be much easier for parents to load and unload their children.
Yeah, I read Mike's comments to be more site-specific. I was just wondering if he also
it didn't meet those standards for... to cause something to do with the traffic that they would have to do mitigation.
It's above a certain threshold that might require an impact.
Okay, but he
looked at that analysis.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I have one more question.
Yes.
And maybe this is really for the petitioner. If I understood what you said, that they require, the state requires separate entrances and exits, does that apply to the backyard, too? Because it looks like there's only one exit into the backyard.
The state requires that infants have an emergency exit in a ramp so their kids can go down the ramp. So as far as actual exit out of the building, the state only requires what a building code would require, the amount of egress necessary, and that specific door with a specific ramp. The entrance, I guess, I was specifically talking about is within the building. So the only way an infant can come into the classroom is through an infant door that's sealed off. So that the purpose is so that a three-year-old can't come running into an infant room and accidentally hurt an infant. So there's three specific entrances within the house to the three classrooms.
I could see that. It just looks like all the other kids have to go through the infant area to get outside. Unless I'm misreading the plan.
Potentially, you're looking at. We look at the site.
Is that maybe not? Is that?
Yeah. It could be the older version. Once the parking turned kind of reorganized itself, it took over sort of where our playground space was, and so our playground space is now more on the side. So, yes, the infants will have to leave out of the main door. The toddlers will have to leave out of the main door. The parking. Can we actually go back to the other one?
Which other one?
The other map. You were just there.
The old one?
Yeah.
The new map?
Do you have the new map?
I do have the new map. We will get it for you. Oh, sorry.
It's probably the
I'm
top
sorry,
one.
I hit the wrong one. There we go.
Okay, so these black lines will show where the playground will be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a window right here currently that will be turned into a door.
Okay.
So the preschoolers will be able to access their playground. They all have to have them separate playgrounds as well. So the preschoolers will basically be totally contained in this portion of the house and yard. And then the infants and toddlers will share this playground. They can't be on it at the same time. And they will both access it through what's the kitchen door right now, but the back of the house door.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commissioners at this point? I'd like to open up to the public. Any comments from the public? Now would be the time to do so. If you would be so kind as to state your name, please.
No problem. Yeah,
so. Sure. My name's Larry Bond, and I live in Pittsburgh at 218-65 4th Avenue, which is at the end of the street to the left. You can see my house. If you get the facing north, you can see the top of my house. I have an equipment shed there, and my top of my house is down that driveway. And I do have some concerns. Turning around, my driveway seems to be the main spot to turn around. Now, this new site plan may eliminate some of that. But the traffic that goes down there now turns around in my driveway. And as I think Mr. Brookshire stated, or that Morty stated in his comments, I get holes in the end of my driveway when the garbage trucks and people in their cars or the trash truck sometimes, if he can't get turned around, he comes all the way in my driveway, all the way to my house, and he turns around where I keep my snow storage. So, I mean, it is a problem to me, and now you're going to increase the traffic probably tenfold, maybe 15-fold. So I just want you to know that that's my concern with that, the traffic, the turning around, the parking. I'm like, Dave, I don't want anybody parking in front of my driveway in the end of the road because the county stores their snow there. I personally take my own tractor to push it back as close as I can to Kevin Gneiser's fence, but I will not stack it on top of the fence. So the parking issue, and if you look in this... you can see this vehicle right now in that facing north. There's a vehicle backed up there. So then that kind of falls in with the snow removal storage. The plow, when he comes down there, his wing is on the east side. So a lot of the snow goes to the east or to the side of this proposed daycare. I don't know who's going to plow it, but if they start taking any of that snow out of this north end of this drive-through here and try to stack it in that corner there, if we get a normal winter, I won't be able to get out unless they haul that snow away. When I plow, I don't plow into the street. I plow back, and I'm lucky that when the maintainer turns around, he backs in my driveway and takes off and goes back out the other way. And this has been concerns of some of the neighbors down there. Oh, you get special treatment because they turn around your driveway. And just like I told Dave and the other owner that used to own that, I says, move your vehicle. He'll turn around in your driveway. As far as I'm concerned, I'll keep my driveway. The snow storage, I hate to say it, but if we get a normal winter, or even, we don't have hardly snow now. I've seen it in my fields up to 3 feet, 3.5 feet deep, and the wind blows. I don't think, what do they have, 240 square feet, 530 square feet? That's a lot of snow that you can remove and out of these parking areas and everything. I mean, that's just a concern. If they're going to haul it away, maybe they'll get away with it. And then, on the drive the culvert, there is no existing culvert where that's shown right now. That's not a culvert. The culvert angles across and goes into my property. My property is the main drain for all that area to the west. It drains that whole area. And when Mr. Inger built his road in there, he didn't even put any cross culverts in there. It all comes down and drains right into my field and then goes through this one culvert that is diagonally and goes into this ditch right along here. You see this ditch? That ditch used to go straight across that property at one time. And it used to drain through the park. It still drains through the park. And then it drains through another house, which I tried to tell them. When I was road foreman, I wouldn't put a house here. But nobody listens. And there's problems. And when I was still road foreman, we spent over $15,000 or $20-some thousand for a study to fix the drainage. And that ditch that just runs through there, they wanted to dig a pond, a settling pond of my property, just put the water, and then the overflow would come out and go across underneath the road there, down this ditch here, and it would have to be at least 6 feet deep. Now, it is dead now, I can tell you that. But I tell you, it does flood. I don't know if you've been down when it floods. It floods. And I don't know if you talked to Dave about it. Dave put a berm behind his house because his house was a moat. And we get standing water at the end of our drive. We're lucky. We're higher. It don't bother us. But it's going to bother you guys. I can tell you what. We get a good drain or a good runoff. Well, but anyway, the culvert is that existing. That's not a culvert. The culvert goes diagonally across the river. And the drain. Those are some of my concerns. My next concern is hours of operation. I think, now my wife, she drove for 20 years down here, and she used to have to leave, what, about 6:30 in the morning?
Seven.
Is would be about right. I guess there's no concern with that for me. How's it, Robert? I don't care. I'm retired. I'm just trying to show you what I see going on, or what I have in the past. There is one thing I do have concerns about, and it's already a problem in Fisher. It's a school bus. Comes in, Route Avenue, turns down 3rd Avenue, and it sits right at the not in the intersection, but at the intersection of, Forest and 3rd. People, when they're dropping off their kids or even kids, you gotta watch out because they're running everywhere. And people are parked there and narrows it up. It's almost like a one lane because by the time they park next to the park, and this, it gets worse as the snow gets deep. They park by the park, they park on the other side of the road, and it narrows down to one lane. And there's kids all over the place. And I have no problem with kids. Okay, they're great. But the pedestrian traffic down 4th Avenue with this traffic that you're going to increase, I think it's going to be children. I don't know if the children, are any of the children getting off the bus, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Are they going to walk down to this? I don't know.
No, we won't have anything.
Okay, that's all right. I didn't know. The only other thing I would be really concerned about is emergency service access. That road can get very narrow, especially when you got some people that live on that road and they park their vehicles on that road. It's already a problem. And they got driveways to put their vehicles in, and they don't move. The plow's got to go around. A lot of them will back out to where the plow driver, he can't plow the road properly. And it just keeps stacking up and it keeps narrowing up. But that's not your problem, and you're not creating the problem. Don't get me wrong. You're not creating the problem. And the only other issue that my wife and I, we discussed, I don't know, did you want to talk about it when you talked to the insurance company? Or do you want me just to say, I was concerned, basically, that if a child or children or whatever got out and got on our property and got injured or whatever, God forbid, that we would be liable. And kind of talking with the insurance agent, there's a possibility. The caregivers would be liable, we would be liable. And the way she talked about it is negligence. And, you know, I got farm equipment sitting around there. I got a couple of vehicles that are outside my barns and stuff. But that's another thing I'm concerned about, that if something happened. And we do have, like I told you, if we get a lot of runoff, we get a big pond over there where it tries to go through that culvert. That culvert, you got to be very careful because where it comes in right here, it's at an angle here. And Yonkers, when he used to have his guy plow, the guy would plow and push it right into the ditch. It plugs the culvert. Usually, if you don't push it and stack it, it won't plug the culvert because the water will run under it and it'll cut through. It'll be all right. And even if Donnie wings that over into the ditch, it'll kind of bridge and it'll make a tunnel. So, but those are just some of the things I was concerned about. Then I'm willing to work with them, and I understand the need for this because we have friends and we have grandparents that you know, telling us how much the kids are paying, or the adults, the parents are paying. It's unbelievable. It's just, but, I mean, your rates, I mean,
your tax,
that is nuts. That's all.
Thank you, Mr.
Bond. Sure. Hey, Larry. Is that culvert, you know, what's the size of it? Is it big enough?
I think it's, right now, I think it's 24 inches. They want to put a 4-footer in there when they did our survey. Because, see, I drained, before I ever put in that road, or before that road was put in there, that water used to come off that hay field up there and the mountain area, and it used to come across, and it used to flood that whole area across there. When we first bought that property, it was like driving through a river, trying to get to it. And when you put that road in, the water is diverted down, and I don't know, it breaks over and comes down onto my property, which I don't care. The water doesn't flow. But I'm just warning you that it can flood.
Okay, so I'm Barbara Bond, Larry's wife. Sorry we haven't had the opportunity to meet. Maybe since I retired, I've been hibernating in the house a little bit. I don't think I have too much different to say from what Larry said. I would like to say that I thought your plan is really well thought out. I'm very planning. You did a lot of research, and I think it's a great presentation. And I agree that there is a need for daycare in Rouse County, and would certainly help South Rouse. And so our basic concerns are just like probably everybody else in the neighborhood is the traffic impact. I do think the circular driveway will help with that, as long as people that are using your facility respect that and use that. I don't know how busy you'll get, you know, with a lot of people coming all at once to drop off children, if the traffic could back up and maybe people think, well, I'll just pull up here in the street, you know, and run in, take my kids. So just something to consider about that. And also, I think the concern about having that area or that roadway clear for access for emergency vehicles if something should happen. And, you know, this isn't something that would be a daily occurrence, but it could happen. So we're thinking, like, potential concerns. Just to make sure, because the street does narrow in the wintertime, like Larry was saying, because of the snow, people that would park on the street, that becomes a one lane. So if people have to pull up and drop their kids off, you know, are they going to think, oh, I'll just pull into this driveway, I'll run in and drop my children off. Maybe there's 7 cars waiting in that circular driveway, or 3 or 4 cars. Just something to think about with that. And maybe that's something that can be addressed with your clients, you know, to try and not block those areas, keep that roadway open for safety. It has been a little congested some days around where the school bus stops and drops off. People just, you know, it's Pittsburgh. Oh, we'll just pull in, and, you know, nobody's coming up the road in Pittsburgh at certain times of the day. We certainly don't have a lot of traffic. And then another concern that we had, but I think you addressed it, was like, would children be getting off the bus unaccompanied and walking up, the 8-year-olds, we were thinking that age group, if they were getting off the bus and walking up to daycare, but it doesn't sound like that's your situation. And then we did have this thought about if a child did walk away from the facility, it can happen. I'm I know you take all kinds of precautions for it not to happen. I had a coworker whose young son walked away from their daycare, and thank goodness nothing happened. So, you know, it's like, well, what is our liability or our responsibility if a child were to wander off and come on our property and get injured or, you know, God forbid, worse? So we had talked to the insurance company and, you know, about our liability, and she said, well, you know, you would probably possibly have it. You would be named in a lawsuit, but it might be dropped because if you didn't show negligence. You know, I guess if we didn't have a big gaping hole or a cistern or something uncovered on our property, but it is a concern when you think about that. If a child came up and was climbing on one of our vehicles or stumbled over something, you know, how responsible would it be? So just food for thought on that, just some concerns, but I think that's about it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not against it. I'm just telling you what I've got. And I'll tell you right now, the streets in Pittsburgh running north and south are 50 foot wide. The streets running east and west are 60 foot, except for route. It's 80 feet. And the only other exception to that north and south is Highway 131, and that's 80 foot running to Pittsburgh. It's 80 foot up to, I think it's the water plant. So, and, you know, snow storage, that's a big deal, especially when it snows. Like I said, we've been lucky. Last year we were lucky. The year before we weren't lucky, because I couldn't run out of room pushing my snow just to clean my driveway and where my house little sits in there. So, we've been lucky.
Thank you, Mrs. Bantu. Anyone else from the public? Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Halloran. I'm Casey's husband. I work for a local architectural firm in town. So I'm pretty familiar with houses and site plans and all that. So I've been working with an engineer in town. And just some topics earlier about the site restoration, what Casey was saying. Can we go back to that plan?
Sure.
I'm kind of always thinking down the road, what happens if...
The revised one?
Yeah, the revised one, please. Thank you. So, this is there's actually six lots here. It's actually quite a big piece of property. It's six city lots, which are, I think, about 50 by 125. And I kind of set this up so that if it does go back to a house, I mean, it would be great for somebody, like Casey said. I mean, if you drive down the street, the neighbor right here has a motorhome, trucks. The guy at the end of the street has his whole backyard as a driveway. There's tractors, and it's just what South Route is. We live in Yampa, and I mean, everybody's got motorhomes, boats, whole nine yards. So I've actually set this up so that you could potentially build a garage here down the road, which would be great, you know, pull in. It's got the room. It's kind of my thinking, because I'm worried. Because we put money into this, and I want it to work, and I really hope it works. But if it doesn't, we do have we can go back to a house. So I think it can easily be restored. I mean, it's got a fenced-in backyard plus this gravel driveway. And then for this snow plowing, you are correct. I mean, there's limited areas where we can put snow. And there's actually been a revised plan that Mike and I have been going through, and it actually stacks the parking place, is what Chris was saying, and actually creates more space for more snow storage. And also, per state child care, we're only actually have to have a 1,500 square foot playground. So we can take all this playground here and actually store more snow pushing back. And like you said, I would never put snow in a drainage ditch. We have.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and we actually have a drainage ditch in our front yard, and same thing. And you just don't do it. It backs up.
Yeah, the only thing I was concerned about is up there in the corner, or up there at the dead end. And you know, I don't know if you talked to Kevin Denizer.
I know that name, but.
Well, he's the landowner at the very north
with the horses.
The field.
Yeah.
Him and I worked.
Gotcha.
But I don't know. You may talk to him about the fences there, and if he would move the fence farther on up so that we could put more snow in there, or, well, if the maintainer could get up in there
put snow there,
push that snow farther up there it'd be great, but like I said, I don't stack the snow on this fence.
Yeah, no, I don't.
And
right now we only have this little portion up here,
right.
And I've been snow blowing it, and I mean it's already collecting.
Yeah, snow blowing is the fence.
Yeah, it is. So I mean, we're still open to, you know, how do we move this? Night, of course, I don't want to blow it on other people's. And it's going to be a gravel driveway. I don't know if I want to plow because it's going to chew it up. So there could be other options to how we maintain that snow. Just back to kind of going way back, Rin's letter to us, I think he was saying that there's a need for 1 to 3. And I think Mary Alice even touched on it a little bit, and maybe even Noreen Moore in her letter. But without young child or young daycare, 1 to 3, parents, families are not moving to South Carolina. They can't. I mean, they move down there, and then there's stuff. They don't have anywhere to take their kids. So they're kind of in this rock and a hard place. So I think Ren really, that's what he was touching on. To get more kids, get more families to move into these communities, because, I mean, we all know Steamboat is getting to a point where we're expanding out Hayden, Craig, Oak Creek, Phippsburg, Yampa, Stagecoach. And if there's no young daycare there, why would a family want to go there? They're going to go to Hayden where there is one, or go to North Route where there is one. And I'm not saying I want everybody to move to South Route, but I'd like to see more younger families. And Casey and I live on Terhune in Yampa, and I think I've counted 10 kids under the age of 10 have all moved there within the last year and a half. And that's multiple families. So if they're coming, we would like to supply a place for their kids. I think that's... Oh, and I wanted to... some of the reasons why we chose this house, it was really the only one in South Carolina that really fit our what we needed. We looked in Oak Creek. That was our original location, and there really wasn't anything that met the square footage. Commercial space was kind of limited and required a lot of build-out. And then there was no outside space, which is required. So we kind of looked at a few homes, and this one kind of popped out because of the square foot. It's a 2,100 square foot home, so it's kind of large for down there. And then my last thing, and then I'll stop talking. The not parking on the street. Casey explained that she talked to Dave, across the street. He just doesn't want anybody parking on the street. And I don't know if we can work with who does it, but we'd like to put up signs saying no parking right in front of our property. Or, I mean, we'll explain that our parents don't park there, but if we could put a sign or two up, I think that would help. Yeah.
Mike, you'd have to get that from Mike.
Mike, okay.
Yeah.
And then also with, I know at the preschool where we take our son, the teachers come out and meet the school. They have a school bus there. At the end of the sidewalk, right on Main Street there. And the teacher comes out and meets them. And I know the teacher, I've seen the teacher meet cars too. So that could be something that we, you know, to make sure kids aren't running around and potentially getting away. Because that would be the point where they do get away. We have a toddler.
We know.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with you.
Yeah. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else from the public? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of this hearing. Questions for either staff or petitioner, Troy?
Chris, do we know that roadway that's not constructed on the north, is that county?
I think it's still...
It's fenced in, but it's platted. So I'm not sure I can answer that question at this meeting. I would have to do some research on that.
If it's platted right away, it belongs to the county. And because when there was the acceptance, it wasn't just the streets that were in, and we were talking 100 years ago. So I would say all the unimproved rights of way, including alleys, are county land.
The only ones that I know of that are vacated is in front of my property and Fifth Street from where Gneider's house is down there, and that alley.
Yeah, it's, it's,
It's not vacated. It's just not constructed. There probably wasn't a reason to back when. I mean, we know how expensive it is to construct roads. And it actually, I thought there was a picture.
Lamar is what it's called.
No, it's called the. Maybe I can't remember, but maybe I didn't put that picture in here. I did take some pictures from that area because the one on page 25 or 27, there's a van at the top which they have removed from the property. While I was there, they were removing it, and then the county car is parked before you get to the edge of their driveway, and it looks pretty level but at that point, but it does rise in elevation, so it was probably something that they just didn't want to construct because of the location of the right-of-way.
I'll give you a little history about this. When we bought that property down there, and 28 acres from Delta James, Mr. Gneiser, not Kevin, but Jack, had that all fenced off, and I couldn't get to my property. But the road, 4th Avenue, actually goes all the way up to the top of the hill. Potentially, it goes all the way up to the top of the hill. And then there's a street that cuts across our property called High Street. At the very top up there, the fence line up there that borders Craig's, it's called High Street. Lamar, I thought it was called Lamar, goes on over to Highway 131 there, but it's the grade. Like almost unacceptable. It would be beyond the 7%, I think, before, especially coming out of 131.
You good?
Maybe it's a question for Larry. So 4th Avenue would go on along your east property line up to High Street.
It could have.
As platted.
Yeah, it could have.
As platted.
But yeah, it was platted that way.
Many moons ago.
Many moons. But see, when Delva James and her husband had the sawmill there, somehow that got taken out of Peabody proper. Because when we went to want to hook onto water and sewer, we were charged double for hookups, so we were going to be charged double for a hookup, and then we were going to have to pay 1.5 times what everybody else paid per quarter. So we did.
But that doesn't have anything to do with
it. No, it doesn't have anything. But I'm saying it is not, you know.
So Troy, I don't know if it helps to clarify. You may recall, like, when you bought that land, it was fenced across the road, and Kevin opened up the corner down there. So, like, where that truck is parked in the one picture, that's a gate that he put in.
Yeah.
And so the Kevin's fence line that runs adjacent to this property on the north end, that's probably part of that old road that was once platted.
That would be the south boundary.
The Gneiser fence comes all the way to the O'Halloran.
Their property.
Their property line, but over that fence, 50 feet wide, is actually a right-of-way. It's like County Road 13 up there on off of 17.
That got me there. Thank you.
Nobody's seen it for the last 100 years, but you can see a fence post.
Yeah.
John?
I have no other comment.
Any other questions?
So I would be interested in taking the temperature of the commissioners on...
Let me ask that.
I'm sorry.
I'm still kind of thinking about the snow storage business. I mean, in theory, and I know it goes up great. I don't know how bad, but I do know it goes up. But... in theory, the county probably wouldn't object if, of course, the neighbor might object. I was going to suggest taking that fence down and pushing snow up into Lamar Avenue for additional snow storage if necessary. But that's a
Yeah, that would be the only thing, Kevin. You'd have to ask Kevin to see, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's an option. Right, I would say it's an option. It's a possibility.
Sure. I mean, we would need to speak with Mike to start with about that. We'd need to stop to speak with Mike Morty about that.
Yeah, could they get permission to store snow on an unimproved canyon right away? And then it would just be, you know, maybe the county telling the organizers that they got to move the fence. It's placed there illegally.
Well, I think that's the discussion that the commissioners ought to hear. If anybody else has this feeling that if a private landowner has county road fenced in, which they probably have for God knows how many years.
And I'd rather not upset somebody either.
Sure.
We're new.
But bigger picture, because as South Rock grows or anywhere else grows, maybe the commissioners choose to ignore it too.
I would think you take them on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever approached Kevin about it, but that's probably not a good idea.
So Troy, I think I could follow up with that.
Okay,
we'd like to move on, but so staff kind of explained to all of us, number one, we're dealing with a new category, for lack of a better term. And because this isn't in a growth area, it defaults to the other sections of the zoning code. But it seems to me that we've met the criteria in terms of, number one, the infrastructure is present. Services should conform with the master plan are proven. I mean, we've already demonstrated that. There's community need. I'm just curious to know, do you have an issue moving forward on that?
No.
Okay. John?
No.
Jeff? No. Troy, you good?
Yeah.
Carl, you good?
I struggle a little bit with conformance with the master plan, just
how so?
Because it seems to be saying two things at once, that we're not going to consider additional use permits in this unincorporated area where there's no planning, anything like that. So I'm struggling. I'm adamantly opposed, but I can kind of talk myself around in circles.
Perfect.
With that.
Good.
The other thing I'll just throw out here is this is a little unusual in that, yes, it's out in the county, but it's a fairly dense little community. So from a notice perspective and the opportunity for people to raise concerns about traffic and snow removal and all that, I guess I'd be more comfortable if there had been some broader outreach. I'm guessing it's just the adjoining landowners that were noticed.
I can't respond to that, but I think Chris can.
They met all of our requirements. It was posted in the paper. The adjacent properties were notified. Adjacent property owners were notified, and it was also posted. And that's our requirements.
Okay.
I have a question for staff.
Sure.
How easy is it to put signage up? Is that got to go through road and bridge and
road signs?
Road signs.
Yeah, basically they've got their standards for roads and
it's pretty easy. You just got to buy them, and they'll tell you where to order them from.
Well, I'm conflicted because it seems like anybody that lives in Pittsburgh can park on the streets and leave them there all year. And so, I mean, I can see the streets narrowing. I can see the snow piling up, and ingress egress. Kind of raising its head, but at the same time, if that's a regulatory issue, how do you regulate the neighbor next door and down the street.
I don't. Does Peaberg have a? It's not an HOA.
No.
It's not incorporated, so everybody knows where everybody is.
They got a community club up there. And
keep in mind, Troy, that this is a new use that's being proposed on a piece of property, so it has to meet current zoning regulations for that use. The requirement is that parking be off-site for this permit.
On-site.
I'm sorry, parking is on-site, off-site of the county road. So that is the requirement that any new special use permit, they would have to meet those requirements if it's within our zoning regs, and it is for this, and they have to meet the 12 spaces for what they're proposing. For county roads, it's a use by right to be able to park on them. So there's a difference in the way you have to view this with parking as a use by right for the community, and this is a special use, a new project that is being done on this property. So it has to meet the regulations that are appropriate for what's here.
So this application won't make the problem any worse because as a commercial operation under an SUP, they have to park on site. Okay, if it were still a house, just like the neighbors around, they could park in the right-of-way just as long as they didn't interfere with the traveling public. Is that the terminology?
No, I don't know. There's people on 4th Avenue that will park on the road, and they'll leave their vehicle there. Some of them do it because they don't want the snow in their yard. Mm-hmm. Some of them do it just to do it. You know, it's like...
But it could be an enforcement issue in general. I don't know if it's ever been brought up.
No.
But if there are people that are parking in the traveling surface, you know, that's...
So how about a sign that says, do not block driveways? For no blocking
the
driveway. Well, and I think that's something that can be worked out with Mike Morty.
Trying to mitigate.
Right. But there's nothing, any of their employees or customers have to park on your site. They can't park in the right-of-way.
But I don't think...
One consideration might be to solve Troy's concern that a condition be added that their clients and staff need to be notified in writing that they can't block driveways on the street. You know, so that has the county ever done that? I've been required to do that on my project, so I just wonder if that's something you would consider.
We can add that in condition.
Well, I thought it could go right. I'm sure you got to have some sort of agreement with the parent. So
right.
you could disclose it right in there in writing, too, in that document.
Do you want that as a condition?
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
So you're going to phrase it?
We can say something. Yeah, do you want me to do it now? Or?
Well, chicken scratches it while you're...
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
Does he need to give a chance for these years?
I just want to review a couple things. It's been recommended, and I think we've got our answers in terms of the specific conditions to eliminate number 16.
And 17.
Well, 17 we've not gotten to just yet. I'll get to that. That'd be last. Number 18, an amendment or a change to the language has been proposed. I think it reads something to the effect of a current state permit shall be maintained on file at Drought County at all times.
It's a license. It's a state
Excuse
license.
Excuse me. Current state license.
Am I correct in that? Yes.
Shall be maintained on file at Drought County. Period. Current. I had the word current in there, right?
Okay.
And then there was a change to 23 bullet, the last bullet. No meals will be prepared. What was the rest of the words?
That was it. Instead of served, prepared.
No.
Did you like it?
No meals will be prepared, period. Right?
Unless a permit is received from Rock County Environmental Health.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That just leaves it open that they don't have to come back and see you guys
if they want to start preparing meals.
Right.
Okay.
So then I've, again,
we're going to hours. Just leave as written. I guess John covered that.
I think so too. They got changed to reflect the concerns.
Yeah, they can go.
So that's fine.
Fine. They can go more than so.
So now we're into the bond. I don't know how the commissioners feel about that. I mean, I think the petitioner has done a nice job in terms of explaining his short and long-term thought processes. But having said that, do you believe a bond is required or is appropriate in this instance?
I do not.
I do not.
I don't.
Nope.
There you go.
Yep.
So that dictates then that number 17 goes away. Specific condition. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Carl, your comment about compliance with 33A and the master plan. Yeah, I've heard you make similar comments in the past on applications in Royal Rock County. And I would say this one is a little different, mainly because it's in Peabody. And that 33E of the master plan does allow for granting a special use permit in Pittsburgh and Milner if certain criteria is met. So I would say this is a special case.
All right, hope you're coming.
Yeah, and I would just further add that the Rock County master plan does suggest that, and I apologize, my computer died before I came, so I'm reaching into the recesses. But under housing, it specifically addresses, which is section 10, specifically addresses the fact that bedroom communities contribute to transportation issues because it puts people on the road and takes them from point A to point B. Whereas here, it increases the civic and cultural engagement of the residents by encouraging them to stay in a given area. The Oak Creek plan suggests that regional cooperation is necessary amongst the counties to provide solutions to issues such as daycare. And the Scirocco School District as a whole seems to be united in that front. And so I think both the master plan and the Oak Creek plan?
Comprehensive plan.
What is it?
Comprehensive
plan. Comprehensive plan. Would support that. Furthermore, given the direction of the population in the county, the master plan identifies Pittsburgh as a potential growth center. And it's a chicken and the egg type issue, but with the appropriate planning, I think that a lot of these issues could be addressed. Troy.
Yeah, Chris, on page 2 of 27, under the last sentence under the staff comments, it talks about conditions of approval with regard to the parking plan.
Right.
5, 6, and 7.
Right.
Under general conditions?
It's the specific condition number 26. It talks about the parking and site plan. So that it states a parking / site plan shall be reviewed and approved by the Rapid County Road and Bridge Department and the Rapid County Planning Department prior to issuance of the permit. So that's involved with the plan that's up on the screen right now. That's what we're referring to. And then the road and bridge conditions are number 19, 20, and 21 and 22, I believe, under specific conditions.
So the 5, 6, and 7 under page 2 is...
That refers to the letter submitted.
Right. It's referred to... There's a letter in the file from the Road and Bridge Department.
Yes, it's right here.
Right. And those conditions that he had on there, I've placed in the specific conditions. Am I missing one?
5, 6, 7.
Which is 26. I mean, you're saying that's number 26 on
the
specific.
No, 26 was what I added with regard to the approval of the parking and site plan.
So, okay. 18, 19.
Let me double check real quick here.
And 20 are the Are the road and bridge conditions? No.
19, 20, 21.
And I believe.
And.
22.
So
this is
20.
And 26.
Okay. I'm trying to make sure that the road and bridge conditions are in the specific
report. Staff report.
Okay. That's all.
I want to make just one comment to try to clarify what my thought is. I read the master plan as trying to steer these unincorporated communities toward fulfilling the criteria that are applicable to growth centers so that they can then engage in whatever use permits and activities that are appropriate for those growth centers. So my concern really isn't with the 33A vicinity or things like that. It's just the inconsistency between steering a community that way to go through those processes and going ahead and issuing permits. So that's where my hesitation comes from. Going through that process, you engage all the members of the community. You have that conversation about what do we want, where do we want it. And it just seems like we are short-circuiting that process a little bit, recognizing it is a chicken and the egg. It's a needed resource for the community and all those things. But that's really more the source of my concern.
So. Might there be a motion forthcoming?
I move to approve activity PL 18-200 with finding of fact number one, general conditions 1 through 14, specific condition 15, eliminating conditions 16 and 17, amending condition 18 to read that they must maintain a current state permit license on file. 19 through 22 as written. 23 bullet points 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 as written. Amending bullet point number 6 to indicate that no meals will be prepared, replacing the word served. Rest as written. 24, 25, 26 as written. And I would be open to hearing the chicken scratch edition of condition 27.
Roberta, you're on.
Thank you. I actually have two recommendations.
Second? Is there a second? Is that part of the motion?
All right, so we'll leave it at that. That's my motion.
All right. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Mike, do the. Go ahead.
So I actually have two comments.
You're proposing. To amend the motion.
Friendly amendment.
Friendly amendment with number 27.
Starting with 26.
Oh.
I would like to suggest that we add the terminology at the end of the parking site plan shall be reviewed and approved by Rapp County Road and Bridge Department and Rapp County Planning Department prior to issue of the permit, taking into consideration but not limited to snow storage, emergency access, and drainage. I'm suggesting that so that the County Road Department can look at that from a civil engineering perspective. And then,
with snow storage,
Emergency access, and drainage.
Okay.
And then a new condition, 27, all employees and customers shall be notified in their employment contracts and child care contracts, respectively, that their vehicles shall not block any driveways on 4th Avenue, and evidence of these typical conditions shall be provided to Rapp County Planning.
Jeff, are you okay with the friendly amendment?
Well, I am with 27. The additions to 26 make me hesitate a little bit insofar as Road and Bridge had an opportunity to go out there and address these issues. And I'm sensitive to the issues of snow storage, and especially as articulated by folks that live in the area and are familiar with the snow accumulation. I would be – the addition to 26, Roberta, has given me a little bit of hesitation. I'm open to discussing.
They did say that they were in the process of working with Road and Bridge on snow storage and amending the plan. The plan we see today is not going to be the final plan anyway. They're going to be having tandem cars. They're going to be modifying the snow storage. And so I thought it would make sense that we recommend to the Road and Bridge Department that they also consider those issues, as well as emergency access, which would be something within their bailiwick when they reviewed the site plan. It's not a final document.
Maybe what you're saying, I would be open to an amendment that says that, you know, their operations have to comply with county standards relating to snow storage and emergency access.
And drainage.
And drainage.
That's huge. Fine. That's just another way of saying the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I'll accept your language. I don't know.
So I have an amendment to the amendment, so recraft it again. Sorry.
So it sounds like I'm not going to go through all of those, but 26 would be amended to read that a parking/site plan shall be reviewed and approved by the Rouse County Road and Bridge Department and Rouse County Planning Department prior to the issuance of the permit.
Taking into
consideration compliance with applicable county regulations pertaining to drainage, snow storage, and emergency access.
Perfect. Sarah, have you got that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So I'm losing track here, but right now we have a motion and a second and a friendly amendment. And the friendly amendment is okay by the motioner?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion and friendly amendments as presented? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion and the amendment as presented, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. Chair votes yes. Thank you. Chad, you're on.
Just a real quick review of the calendar. Looking back at the board, the only thing that had been on the planning commission is the Stoker Coal Hall extension. They approved that.
Stoker
Coal Hall.
Oh.
I think you guys have seen that request for renewal, that there was some confusion at that hearing, mainly because of what the applicant had done, request a renewal and then show up with amendments.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a little talk with, staff and the board about that, and that basically the board agreed that basically because it was advertised, it was noticed as a renewal. I think they changed a couple of things, maybe similar to what you did. There were more clarification issues. They really didn't change any of the conditions substantially.
Yeah, I think we decided that was a mistake to undo it.
What's that?
I think we decided it was a mistake to undo it. It was a mistake to accept what was being proposed in terms of deletions and changes and whatever.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway.
The Dougherty PUD, it's been a while since you guys have seen that. They just requested an extension of their approval to get their final plan in. So I think they've got another, I think it's 6 months. Next meeting, there's a vacation up in Hounds Peak Village. Looks like that's the only one on the 3rd, 7th. I've got the date.
I thought next was the 19th.
Yeah, that's what we were told last time.
I thought the next was the 17th, and it was a joint meeting.
Well, there you go.
Well, the 19th is a Saturday.
Well, then I was wrong. It's the 17th.
18th.
Right. Right. Yeah, last time you said there was no meeting on the 3rd.
Yeah.
Right. No. Well, on my calendar, I've got a meeting on the 3rd. Two items. Sunshine resolution and the vacation request. On the 17th,
Looks like that one will be canceled because Commissioner Cargan could not make the joint meeting. And so the board wanted everybody present for that one. So that's been rescheduled. So
is there a date ready for now?
Doesn't look like that. Let me check and see if it's in the books. Yeah, we were looking for even like an off date. So we didn't have to push it back until late February or March. So it could be.
You were the third.
I don't have it in the calendar yet.
Okay.
So to be clear, we are meeting on the 3rd.
Yes.
But we are not meeting on the 17th.
Correct.
Got it. Thank you.
And nothing is scheduled for the joint meeting.
Yeah, we'll get you the dates. The decision, the interviews and the decision to replace Paul Bear, that was postponed a little bit, maybe until after our new commissioner gets on board. And I think we've got time toward the end of January where those will take place. I believe Ronnie reached out to Planning Commission members whose term was up in March. Carl, I think you're one, Jeff. They're one here for Ronnie, basically.
Well, I'm March of 19.
19, right.
Yeah.
And so,
oh God!
So because it's,
hello,
it only saved 2 months. Let's just go get it taken care of now. So, if you haven't responded yet, please do. I think Brian wrote the other.
Time to respond. Yeah.
That is all.
That's it.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.